The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com. Eric Metaxas Show with your host, Eric Metaxas.
Hey there, folks. I am having a very important conversation with my very old friend, Keith Junta, and my new friend, Kenny Sacked. Kenny, I really cannot get over the seriousness of what we're talking about. I mean, it's so ugly. It's so horrifying. And yet, you are having success bringing Jesus into these evil places, restoring young women. It's, you know, it's a wonderful thing to give people hope, and it's why I wanted to talk to you on this program. People need to know this is real. Great things are happening because you're going right into these places. What would give you the idea that you could succeed at this? I mean, it seems like most people would just shrug and just say, like, there's nothing I can do. Mm-hmm. You seem to have this idea that there was something you could do. What did you think you could do? And what are you doing?
It starts with decades ago, I found myself crying out to God and say, God, break my heart with the things that break yours. That was a constant in my life. Mm-hmm. I want to cry with the things that you cry with, God. I want to smile at the things you smile with. Mm-hmm. And so I saw it and he broke my heart and I just, it wasn't one of those things, you know, here I am, send me, God. It was like, here I am. God, I'll do anything. If this is it, I'll do it. And he took this coach, this teacher guy. I would have never dreamt I would be here in this place. And I just wanted, we're simply making wrong things right in the name of Jesus and the power. We're seeing signs and wonders and miracles in the sex trade.
Okay, now when you say that, that's another order of conversation, right? It's one thing practically to get these girls to believe you can get them out of this disgusting, degrading life. But you're saying you see miracles, you see. I mean, what you just said about the worship.
Yes.
That, I mean, people need to understand there's a spiritual element. This is not just good works. We're gonna do some good stuff. Yeah. It's a spiritual battle. But when you say you've seen miracles or what give me an example, either of you, because I'm just most people should be fascinated with
girl with HIV, two tests, and she's scared. She goes in for a third test. It's gone. Some girls have got visions some girls have got dreams before we've come to the bar. And this is in their words. They say, Coach, I had a dream 3 nights before you came in, before one of your teams came in. And God said, listen. She says, there was these white girls with Filipinas. It says, listen to what they say and trust them. And she goes, I trusted. And now she's a college graduate.
So you don't just get them out of this hell. You install them in amazing lives that you give them hope and a future.
Yes. Unfortunately, Eric, and I say this in all humility, but the model out there is get a girl out of the bar, get her to say a prayer, and teach her how to make bracelets for pennies, and then she graduates from the program. And I saw that. I saw that in multiple countries. And I broke and said, if that was my daughter, is that what I would want? Is that the good news that we talk about? The good news is so much more than saying a prayer and saving the girl and writing a newsletter back home saying 20 girls believe and we're baptized.
Okay, this is a real bugbear of mine because evangelicals, of which we are card-carrying members, we do stuff in reaction. I was just talking to somebody about this yesterday, and we say, like, evangelism is great because other people aren't doing it. When I was growing up in the Catholic Church or the Orthodox Church, whatever, they didn't do that, so we're all about evangelism. And you think, well, evangelism, that's supposed to be the starting line, okay?
Yes.
You get saved, and it's not like you're done and you raise money on how many people you got saved.
Right.
You now have the ability to take these people to where God
yes.
would want to take them. And if he doesn't take them to heaven the second they're saved, it seems like he may have a wonderful plan for them
exactly.
beyond just being saved. So you are talking about redemption.
Amen.
Were you talking about redeeming lives, not just spiritually, but on every level? So, but it's still, you know, it's a really out there idea. You can understand why people would say, we just want to get them out of that hell, and they do, and you say, well, that's great. And of course, it's better than leaving them there, but you're saying that it's possible to do much more. And so what are some of the things that you've been doing with some of these girls that, you know, you mentioned college. Wow. Yeah.
Yeah, that's our goal, is because in the Philippines, and this is no exaggeration, you can't work at McDonald's without a college degree.
Wow, that must be some burgers they're serving. Holy cow. I've never had a burger like that. I prefer burgers made by high school graduates.
Yes,
but anyway,
yeah.
But why is that?
There's so many people. It's such an overpopulated place. So if you're an employer, you're going to choose the best and the brightest and the nicest looking, the most masculine. You're going to do that, right, as an employer. And so you get the ones that speak English the best, and you find the best people to hire them. I've been to a kiosk in a mall, and the people behind it are selling peanuts. And I was with someone one time, and I said, "Watch this." And I go, "How many years of college do you have?" And they go, "Oh, we're graduates."
Okay, that there's a whole other depressing show to do about what you're talking about, because I feel like college degrees have become so overvalued. Everybody in America thinks, "I got to go to college. And why? Like, what? You know, it doesn't. Some of the greatest people have never gone to college. But you're just telling me, practically speaking, in that part of the world, that's a positive thing to do because they're not getting taught, you know, cultural Marxism and wokeism and lunacy.
Yes.
They're actually getting some kind of degree. That's the difference between college in the Philippines and college in America. Mm. But these girls, once you get them out, you establish them in these different lives. I mean, do you track them? How does that all?
Yeah, we do.
And either of you can answer, because I mean, I'm just fascinated. I know nothing.
Well, first we bring them into our homes, you know, and the first, going back a little bit, you know, they come in and they visit like for 1 hour. We take a 2 hour trip. They visit for an hour. We feed them a meal. They're very hungry. And we take them back home so they can go back to work. That's tough. And it's a very soft sell. And then they text us, they call us, and they say, "I'm ready." And then they come into our care. We send a vehicle, go pick them up. You know, we send a team of people. So we get them in, and depends on, sometimes they've only had third grade. Now we got to work on their GED. It's called ALS there, to finish grade school. Then we put them into a high school ALS or GED program, and that qualifies them for college. A number of them already have high school diplomas. And then we enroll them. We want to see them get in college to break poverty in that family line and their extended family that goes horizontally as well, their cousins, everything. They share with everybody. And so if you bring one girl into freedom, like I just explained, her whole family from then on, it's all broke. Poverty is broken.
Yeah.
And we've had 47 college graduates now. And there are going to be hundreds more in the name of Jesus.
Now, some people would wonder, why wouldn't you be doing something like this in the United States? Clearly, we have similar things in the United States, or don't we? What do you think?
We do. A lot of people say, "Why aren't you doing it here?" And I go, here's the answer. God told me to do this.
Yeah.
He said, go to the Philippines.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but we do have it here. It's much harder. I mean, I've talked to girls in the streets. By the way, we never call them prostitutes, because there's a difference between being a prostitute and being prostituted. So our girls are girls who have been prostituted. Big difference. And so I've talked to those girls in the streets here, and they say, I don't want to go to college. To do what? To make 15 bucks an hour in an entry-level job in America? So as you know, college is not the biggest deal here in the world anymore, here in America. So it's a whole different ballgame here.
Well, so, okay, God sent you there, and you have seen miracles. Keith, the thing that you wrote at winepatch.org, this must be a couple of months ago if people want to look it up, but that's where I realized that you have experienced this and how spiritual it is, how it's just one of these things that you can't really, you can't really understand it in the natural, because to be able to do something like this, for a man to go into a situation like so dirty and to be able to be Jesus entering this situation, it's a supernatural thing. And so I say this because people need to understand the supernatural is real.
Yeah.
And if you try to operate in the natural in a situation like this, it's not happening. Mm-hmm. When we come back, I want to ask you about that. Folks, the ministry is wipeeverytear.org.
It's time to come blow your horn. Make like the Mr. Mumbles.
Hey, folks, I've got to tell you a secret about Relief Factor that the father-son owners, Pete and Seth Talbot, have never made a big deal about, but I think it is a big deal. I really do. They sell the three-week quick start pack for just $19.95 to anyone struggling from pain like neck, shoulder, back, hip, or knee pain, $19.95, about a dollar a day. But what they haven't broadcasted much is that every time they sell a three-week quick start, they lose money. In fact, they don't even break even until about 4 to 5 months after if you keep ordering it. Friends, that's huge. People don't keep ordering Relief Factor month after month if it doesn't work. So yes, Pete and Seth are literally on a mission to help as many people as possible deal with their pain. They really do put their money where their mouths are. So if you're in pain from exercise or even just getting older, order the three-week quick start for $19.95. Let's see if we can get you out of pain too. Go to relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com, or call 800-500-8384, 800-500-8384, relieffactor.com. I use it. It works.
Somewhere beyond the sea, somewhere.
Folks, we're talking to Kenny Sacht, who's the founder of Wipe Every Tear. You can check it out, wipeeverytear.org. And my friend Keith Junta, who introduced me to the organization and to Kenny. Keith, tell us about what you write about on winepatch.org. You that experience, I was just really amazed. That because you're my friend, I know you. Yeah. And when I read this, I thought, this is a big deal.
Yeah, the name of that piece was Jesus Walks Into a Bar. And the same way Kenny just captured that poverty is the engine of the sex trade. It really is. So breaking poverty, worship is the engine of what this revival is outpouring as we come into these bars. So for signs and wonders that I wrote about in this piece, one, we're in the room, we call it the upper room, worshiping, and people in the midst of worship would just, sometimes they would see the girl, sometimes they would get a name, and we go over on the wall, permanent marker, and we'd write names as the Lord was given them to.
Okay, so you're talking about operating the gifts of the Spirit.
Yes.
A lot of people listening, they don't know what that is.
Yeah,
you're
real.
Telling me you're worshiping,
yeah,
and God is giving some of you, as you're worshiping, pictures of the girls you haven't seen yet, or names.
Yes.
So you write it down because
God
typically doesn't blow smoke. So keep going.
Yeah. So then we go into, and again, you have to have those Jesus eyes. You've got to see as the kingdom sees. It's the only way to do this. You can't do it in the natural. And so imagine what it's like to bring a girl. She wants to come back to the coffee shop that night just to rest. We feed her.
Is that where you've been worshiping?
Yeah. So the coffee shop is downstairs.
Welcome Center.
Welcome Center was upstairs. And say, hey, come on upstairs for a minute, Joanne. We wrote that at 4 o'clock today.
God, they've seen her name. She
God
sees her name written
here
on there. What do they do?
And they just break. They just break.
And then they ask questions.
A lot of Christians don't have the kind of faith to do what you're talking about.
Mm.
They just don't know. See, I think that part of the reason God does these miracles and speaks in this way is to make you courageous that God is in this. This is not some idea I have.
Yes.
This is God's idea, and He encourages me by giving me a picture in my mind or giving my friend a name or whatever it is. But that's amazing.
Yeah.
You talked about that in the piece, Jesus Walks Into a Bar, winepatch.org. You said you see with the eyes of Jesus.
Yeah.
A lot of people, to them, that would sound like religious hocus pocus, like what's this guy talking about? But I know you, so I know you're not.
Let me tell you two more instances that I wrote about that have just wrecked me. They're still with me. So the first couple of days, really the first day, 2 days, as you're now having your heart broken for the girls, you hate the men. You see these sloppy, overweight, past middle-aged men.
Yeah, in the natural, I want to murder
them.
I want to murder them because what they're doing. Yes.
Large man dressed messily, holding hands with a petite, diminutive little Philippine, and you're like, that's disgusting. And one of the guys on our trip, he was a pastor, one of the guys on our trip, the first night, he said, I want to punch that guy out.
Well, of course you
do. Well, guess what Kenny taught me?
That's kind of the normal, natural response. That's the fleshly response. That's not God's response, I don't think.
No.
But, let's acknowledge it. When you see that, what are you going to think?
And Kenny taught me.
Yeah.
You can't love the girls and hate the men because the kingdom doesn't work that way. These girls are in a prison, and so are the men. It's just a different cell. Only Satan can set up a kingdom where everybody's miserable. The mamasans, the bar owners, the bartenders, the patrons, everybody's miserable. So once you see that, it's like, now my heart is moved as much towards this girl, towards this man. Imagine having a bunch of guys at the table next to you in the bar, and you buy them a round of drinks. Hey, guys, how you doing? Where are you from? What are you doing? And they'll tend to, brag about their exploits. And then they go, what are you doing here? And you get to say, well, we're here getting girls out because God has created them for something so much greater. One man who heard this, we explained, just that we're not wagging the finger. How could you? Do you have a daughter? What? It's none of that. It's like we're here to bring them to Jesus. This is the life Jesus wants for them. One man, he reached into his pocket. He plunked down a big wad of cash, and he walked out. And my friend walked out after him, and with tears, he was at the front of the bar telling the men as they're walking by, he goes, I can't do this anymore. I can't do this anymore. Eric, that's revival. When we say revival in the sex trade, men's hearts are being broken just by us being there.
Yeah.
So the men are getting rescued too.
This is so beautiful. And you have to ask yourself the question, how sad is it to travel to part of the world for this? I mean, let's not kid ourselves. You kind of think, hey, that would be fun. That is so sad.
Mm.
So pathetic.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And look, there are some people that they are pathetic. They don't even think that they have any value. They just want to have a good time. And we need to tell them, God loves you, and he's got a better plan for you, way better than this.
That's right.
Is really sad.
That's right.
Only
every
Jesus
morning,
would come up with this stuff. This is amazing.
Every morning I had breakfast with one man who was from Connecticut. He just happened to be there on a sex vacation. And by the end, I had breakfast with him like 5 or 6 mornings. He was completely changed by the end of that time, just from sitting with him. And you know what? He was divorced 3 times. His wives cheated on him. He was abused when he was a kid. These aren't cleaned up, fashionable men just coming in to get. These are broken, devastated men. And so our goal is getting the girls out, but the kingdom, it's always bigger, isn't it?
This is so beautiful. I love this.
Eric,
I love this.
Let me tell you how that all started too. Is it? We were in the red light district in Angeles City, and I had this vision. I was in a bar, and all of a sudden there was this guy sitting there, and all of a sudden I had a vision. And I mean, I'm in this vision, and all of a sudden I look down to my left in the vision, and here's this little guy, 2.5, 3 years old, and he's playing with trucks, and he's going, and God says, isn't my boy beautiful? This man that was sitting there, this is a vision.
I'm missing something.
There's a guy like you right there.
So you're seeing an adult man.
Yes.
But God gives you a vision of him as a boy.
Absolutely.
Playing with trucks.
Yes. And he says, isn't my boy lovely? Isn't he beautiful?
God said that to you.
Yes. And I went, oh, God. Oh, God. Because I have 5 daughters. I want to take a baseball bat to those guys. I want to break their legs. And that's when it all began. And we began to see them like heaven sees them. Mm.
Has God always spoken to you in visions? This is a more recent thing because that's, a lot of people don't experience that.
I have dreams and visions, prophetic things, but no, I mean, when I was, they taught me that those things don't even happen in seminary.
Where'd you go to seminary? I'm dying to know.
Western Seminary in Portland, Oregon.
They taught you this stuff doesn't happen?
No, it all ceased.
And you made a monkey out of those seminary professors, didn't you?
You know, I love the education I have. I'm one of the few that actually walked out still loving Jesus with this passion. Jesus became an academic exercise. Mm. And somehow I came out still loving Jesus. And you got to understand the context, right? The guys love Jesus. But I'm telling you, he didn't become an exercise. He didn't become systematic theology.
Yeah, that can happen, right?
It does.
Like you become a professional intellectual Christian and you forget the heart of God. So it's pretty
wonderful. Sometime later, during the whole Vineyard Revival days, I got...
So you stumbled into the right place at the right time.
I stumbled into Vineyard, Jack Deere, John Wimber, all those
Ken
guys.
Ken Fish.
You know those guys?
Well, I met Ken the other night, and I told him, you realize that girls are being rescued in the sex trade because of you and John Wimber? The impact you had in my life back then? One day I called the Anaheim Vineyard, and I said, I got to talk to Jack Deere. Who are you? I'm a nobody. No, he's busy. He's with John Wimber right now. I go, I'll wait. I had to ask him because he said, he wrote, his whole book, When the Spirit Comes with Power, or what was it called?
Jack Deere, for people who don't know, Jack Deere is also, I'm privileged to say he's a friend, but Jack was teaching at Dallas Theological Seminary, was emphatically against the gifts of the Holy Spirit for today, then experienced them himself and was thrown out because they said, we can't have that. Living Christianity here. Yes. We prefer it in the dusty books. And he really, for years, has moved in this stuff. But, yes. I mean, Jack Deere, John Wimber, Ken Fish, and so many others, they were really, how do we put it? They were swimming against the tide because there were many people in the, official Christian world that said, no, that's of the devil. So what irony now to see God using you in these gifts to free young women from this hellish, hellish life. Folks, we're going to come back more. We're talking wipeeverytear.org. We're talking about rescuing girls in the Philippines, wipeeverytear.org. Folks, I'm talking to my new friend, Kenny Sacht, S-A-C-H-T, and my friend of 31 years, Keith Junta. We met in the summer of 1990. You remember right?
Very good.
Oh, yeah. No, I remember. It was the summer of 1990. I was about to do an outreach with Times Square Church. Yeah. I wasn't even attending Times Square Church yet. But we met on the beach in Stamford, and I think it was Chris Coughlin, Steve Gatto. We were all there.
Jerry Seinfeld.
And you guys were joking with me. We were cracking jokes and stuff, and I thought, this is so great to meet people that are really serious about their faith who are also very funny. I wish Steve Gatto were here right now, but he's I don't know what's he doing. He's selling desks or something like that. I don't know. He's got a real job. Okay, so we're talking about heavy stuff. Now, why do you say revival? Because I think a lot of times Christians overuse that word or misuse that word. But you're saying, no, we're seeing so much happening as we rescue these girls from the sex trade in the Philippines that it gets into what we would call revival.
I think so. I mean, the prophet Joel said, in those days I will pour out my flesh on all. I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. And so we think of churches, stadiums for a Christian event. You know, we were down in D.C. this past weekend. Like, yes, revival is revival's pouring into the bars in the Philippines.
Yeah.
So this is way of saying you're seeing success.
Yeah. You know what? A lot of our friends out there around the world, they heard about us. They found us, on the web somewhere, and they've actually come and they actually start with a phone call and say, Is this really happening? I go, yes. And they go, how? And I go, well, it's not because I learned it in college. It's that there's a move of heaven. Hmm. We're always crying out, oh, God, might it be here like it is there? And I know there's no sex trafficking in heaven, Eric. And so we believe it. We declare it. We say, God, will it be here just like it is there? And we start to see it. And we are very small. We get ourselves low. And we love these girls and we serve them. And we don't beat them up with Jesus. In fact, God told me one day, he says, they don't need to hear about me. They need to see me.
Oh, Eric, so that was part of it. When we walk into the bars, we don't mention Jesus. And that's not because it's a bait and switch.
No, it's zero.
They've seen so many missionaries come in with bullhorns and Bibles and saying, who's going to hell? When they hear Jesus, their first reaction is usually not good. So that's why the Lord said, be Jesus to them. Show them Jesus. And that's why we just go in and love them. And they respond because it is Jesus loving them. That's how they respond.
What's your initial approach? You walk in to these foul places. Do you stay together? Do you break up? How do you, practically speaking?
Our trip, I could talk a little bit about the men's trip. We had a group of, it was about a dozen, and you really can't go in without a local Filipina girl. So the girls are either far into the program or have graduated.
Okay, so somebody...
Program. Wait, correction. Yeah. No, we can go in. We can go in. We just bring them with us. They can't go in.
Without us.
Without us.
Right.
Reversed.
Okay, so you bring a local Filipina girl who has...
From Wipe Every Tear.
Who has come to faith, who's working with you at Wipe Every Tear.
Yeah.
And, okay, so you walk in, and what happens?
So my experience, you walk in, it is loud. It's... If you're not spiritually prepared, the oppression is weighty. You could feel it. The first night, Kenny gave us a quick tour. We hadn't worshiped and stuff. We just walked through a bar and walked out, and it was a hellscape. But when you come in full of the Spirit, now you see these girls. So we sit down. You have to buy a drink. We buy seltzer, soda. And the protocol is you watch the girls dancing. They've got barely anything on. Most of them don't look comfortable. This isn't exciting for them.
Are some of them drugged up?
Some of them.
Yes.
Yeah, some of them are.
They like to get them dependent on drugs.
Yeah.
The pain. It helps the pain.
Mm. And so then we begin praying. It's like, okay, Lord, who are you calling? And you just sit for a bit, and you feel your heart move towards one. And often it's the one that's hiding behind the three excited dancers. There's one kind of in the back. Like, we want to talk to her. We want to talk to her. And she'll come and sit down, and we first say, welcome, would you like a drink? They make money. When they get called over, they make money. If they get a drink, they get a cut on that. So the whole thing is working in a system. And so you buy them a drink, whatever they want, alcohol, fine, whatever. Then we start just talking with them. And once we're comfortable is when the Filipina will then start speaking to them in their language. It's really hard to communicate in there because it's so loud, but now the Filipina comes in and begins, and that's when you just sit back and watch them.
It's incredible.
You just watch it. Now my work's done. I've gotten the girl to the table. Now we sit back, and they start going, and then you'll see the Filipina girl go into her purse and pull out her old bar card.
To show that
she was trafficked in that bar. And then she pulls out her college ID, says it's
whoa.
This is real. This is real. And then there is a way of...
All on their own, Eric.
Yeah.
And by the way, it's not the girls who work for us. It's our girls in our care right now.
Yeah, they're not staff.
It's our girls in our care that maybe been out a year, maybe been out 6 months, maybe 3 years. Whenever they're ready, they go
but
back.
But they're obviously zealous.
They're filled with Jesus.
Yeah.
How many years have you been doing this?
Coming up on 10 years in February.
And how often do you go to the Philippines?
Normally, I'm there a third of my life. But this thing called COVID.
Yeah.
So it's been 19 months. We were there in March. We had a Heidi Baker conference, and she was going to be there.
Actually, hang on. We're going to talk about that at the other side of the break. Folks, wipeeverytear.org. Check it out.
Just couldn't be the same. Hear the latest reporting and analysis on the big stories of the day on the Daybreak Insider podcast. It's top-notch reporting from SRN News, along with the sharpest insight from Hugh Hewitt, Mike Gallagher, Dennis Prager, Sebastian Gorka, and the voices of townhall.com. The Daybreak Insider podcast. It's your first look at today's top stories. Available at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, and at SalemPodcastNetwork.com.
Folks, we're talking to Kenny Sacked and Keith Junta. Wipe Every Tear is the name of the ministry. Mm. Where, Kenny, did you get that idea, wipe every tear? I mean, I happen to know it's scriptural, but...
I was with a girl in the Philippines at our first... We did basketball camps, we did volleyball camps. And there's this girl sitting in front of me, and she's weeping. And she wasn't trafficked. But God said, wipe every tear. He spoke to me, he said, wipe every tear. And he says, I want you to start wiping tears. He said, you know I'm going to wipe every tear on my side. Kenny, he's called me coach. Coach, I want you to wipe tears on your side and begin with her. Wow. So that's how it started. We're just helping a girl.
So I'm
just
fascinated by this. So
27 cavities later.
When God spoke to you, he used the word coach.
Coach. Oh, yeah. He speaks our language.
I've never heard God speak to me that way, like in any way like that. So that's kind of extraordinary that you hear from God. Because I say this because I think a lot of people are challenged by this. A lot of people are fascinated that this is a guy, doesn't seem crazy, and he says God is speaking to him. And then the fruit of it is so beautiful.
Exactly.
But, you know, there are many people that think, wow, that's pretty religious. I don't know. I'm not ready for that. And I think, well, that's not true. Everybody was created by God for this kind of stuff,
yes.
One version or the other.
Yeah.
So it's really beautiful to hear you guys talk about this. Now, Keith, have you ever heard from God in that way? Because I don't think I've ever heard God speak to me like in words.
I mean, I've had a few dreams that came to pass. So I would say that my dream life is more that way.
Yeah.
I get, you'll hear the word, I got a sense.
Yeah.
Or I felt an urging.
Yeah.
But I have never heard an audible voice.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's kind of it's an amazing thing to somebody who hasn't experienced it to hear
it
that. God. My grandmother once told me that God spoke to her. Now, she didn't read the Bible. She didn't go to church. But she knew Jesus. And she would pray. Hmm. And once God kind of touched her in the power of the Holy Spirit and said, you're the last of the 12 Sibba. Now, she was one of 12 kids.
Yeah.
There were 17 born, 12 survived, and she was the last one alive. And God said, you're the last of the 12 Sibba. It's a German name. It's sibling, right? But we wouldn't say that. We would say you're one of the kids. But the fact that God used that word when he was speaking to her, I'll never forget thinking, what an amazing God that he speaks to us with words that mean something to us.
That's
he really is a person. He's not an energy force. It's beautiful.
That's it.
So God told you that you're going to be doing this. So what is the reality? I mean, let's forget about COVID. So you go there a few times a year from Idaho?
Yes, Boise.
And do you ever go with you said you've got six kids, obviously you're married, you go over with them, or do you do this with ministry team, or how do you?
Both, all of the above. You know, we do a lot of vision / mission trips from people all over the country. They come actually from all over the world, but mostly America and Canada. And they go on these short, 10, 12-day trips, which Keith explained how that works. But then I travel there a lot. I mean, I mean normally, of course. But I just go back and forth.
And what were you saying about Heidi Baker?
Oh, dear Heidi was going to be in the Philippines. She actually made it to the Philippines, and it was the day that the world shut down. We had a 3-day conference. God, again, a vision I had. I saw Heidi Baker speaking in the Philippines. Now, how am I going to get Heidi Baker? I don't know her. Eric, I never made a phone call. And Heidi was in the country and was going to be with us. And a few hours later, and the President Duterte of the Philippines said, Americans, everybody, you're out of here. And she called me on the phone and says, Kenny, I'm so sorry. I can't
come. She was in Manila, couldn't get up to.
But she was going to be there. Someday, Heidi.
Well, if God gives you a vision, you don't have to make it happen.
No.
So it's kind of cool.
Yeah.
But I think Mike Bickle was talking. Mike Bickle was talking about, well, God gave him a vision, and he almost goes out of his way to not make it happen, just to make God be sovereign.
That's you know, where I've gotten
which I find annoying. It's like, come on. But yeah, he's just like, well, I don't have to do anything, you know.
Yeah.
And but that, you know, that gets close to that. What's that story when people say, like, the Lord says, well, I send you a helicopter, I send you a boat, you know,
right, right.
And you didn't, right? You know that
yeah.
right?
Yes, yes,
yeah.
Yes.
I think we could be that way too much,
yeah,
too.
Yeah. But, yeah. But how crazy is that? We were there. Talk about the timing of things. This was the lockdown of the globe for COVID, and we were in Angeles City when it happened. And Kenny had prayed for the mayor. So it's called Angeles City. I don't know if we've said that.
No, I was
cool
going to ask
is that?
You.
City of Angels.
The City of Angels.
I didn't think that.
Is where this strip is, where the sex trafficking yeah. hub is. And Kenny, just days prior, got audience with the mayor. And he and Becky just ministered to him. Because think about it. You are known as being mayor of the sex trafficking capital city of the world.
Whoa.
So they go into this office, and I wasn't even there, but I know you loved him, honored him. They prayed for him. And 2 days later, the strip of bars is closed down. The sex trade was closed down, and we were there. That's crazy, and it was closed down for a long time. Now, it sounds triumphant and great in one sense, but it made for other problems for the girls, obviously.
Yeah.
Because they're still there. They can't leave. Commerce shuts down. There's no food. People are starving. That might be a good segue for you.
That's pretty good. So God told us prior, a year before this lockdown, he said, I want you to start feeding my daughters. Through a good friend of mine, Liam O'Brien in Australia. He shared it with me, and I said, wow, Liam. And then God started speaking to me. So we started feeding them. And to this right now, that's our shtick. That's the way we're meeting our girls. We're doing a thing every day of the week, a little over 200 meals a day right now. It's going to be hundreds and thousands, we believe. And we're just feeding them. We're just loving them. Mm. We're just loving them and loving them justly.
And can I say to that, so when I was there ministering at night, remember I said it was loud? It was hard to communicate, but we bring the meals during the day.
It's quiet.
It's quiet. The girls aren't under the gun to perform, and the connections with the girls is so much deeper
yeah.
and easier, and they are more themselves. So this feeding program is actually probably yielding even more fruit.
Yeah, we have girls come into our care right now.
Now, you've brought your kids over there.
A lot of them I have, and my wife.
And have you haven't brought either of your boys over to this?
I have not. I would love to. Yeah. I would do it. Absolutely.
I want you to
it's
come,
unbelievable.
Eric. I want you.
It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. That's
do.
Not on our vacation list. But you know what? God has other plans. We'll be right back. Continue talking to my friend Kenny Sack and Keith Junta. The ministry is Wipe Every Tear, wipeeverytear.org. I hope you've already checked it out. What else can we talk about? Now, we're going to, you know, this ends today, but I want to keep you after class and we can keep talking because there's just so much, and this is so beautiful, so important.
Mm.
I know you've seen miracles. Can you share any of those that would be that would appeal to my audience? Because I think that gets people excited.
Yeah, you know, we've had a lot of miracles. You know, where healings. You know, I said earlier, HIV gone, boom. You're testing positive, and then you're not. And we've had all sorts. You know, our girls have had angelic visitations.
Well, see, that's the kind of thing I'm talking about. You know, when you say God used this word, I'm just fascinated. It's almost a prurient interest, you know, to angelic visitations.
Yeah.
You know, I think a lot of people long to see God, to hear from God, and you say angelic visitations. I mean, I don't know if there's
I've never seen an angel yet, but one of our girls did. We were at a Heidi Baker conference, actually, a few years ago, and I was given this special permission to be up near Heidi, and my girls were up there, and I just couldn't do it. And so I went up to worship with our girls, and I walked up, and I put my hand just like this on one of our girls. Later, she told me she was having a vision, and there were angels all around this auditorium. It was a big basketball court. There were angels all around. And she says, and then Jesus walked in the room. He was walking around, and he was going around touching people on their heads. And simultaneously, when he touched me, your hand touched me.
I think that qualifies as what I call a miracle.
It has become normal. But we don't just like, oh, yawn. Mm. We're every day we're in awe, like, oh, God, you would do this with us?
Mm.
Go ahead.
Well, you said it's a basketball court. Did you say that you do basketball?
Yeah, but this was a stadium. This was a stadium. Heidi was speaking in a stadium, so there were thousands there. Mm. And I just had to be, God just kept putting on my, he said, go be with your girls. Go be with your girls.
You'll get a way better story out of it.
Yeah, right.
I mean, seriously, though, yeah. You hear these things.
Yeah.
And you kind of wonder how hard-hearted are people that they just blow off the whole idea of God, yeah, or whatever. What do you make of this? Mm. I mean, are you making it up? You don't seem like you're making it up. You're not doing this to get rich. This is beautiful. So
this is their culture. And by the way, we say girls. It's offensive when you say that in America. It's good in the Philippines, our girls. So if we were saying...
And they're not exactly in their 40s.
No, actually some are. One is 54 years old.
Well, I'm saying that it's possible, but a lot of these are practically girls.
They are. They're 18, 19, 20, 25, 27. That's in the area.
Well, from our perspective, they're kids.
But when everything changed, is I had this vision. We used to go into these bars very stoically, carrying the old rugged cross, kind of an atmosphere. And he gave me this vision, and I went in, and I went, and I opened up the door, and I was celebrating, going, woohoo, yes!
It's the way we walk in.
And he said, look at them with your blue eyes. And when you look at them, I'm looking at them. And he said, go up and high-five them. And I did. I went up and high-fived them. That changed everything. The girls started coming out.
Yeah.
When we started celebrating heaven on earth in the bars.
Okay, we're going to go to break. We're at the end of this hour, but we're going to keep you guys after class. I just have so much else I want to ask you. Folks, thanks for listening. Don't forget to go to the website, wipeeverytear.org. Don't forget to go to our website, ericmetaxas.com. We'd appreciate it. Thank you.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.